You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Of course, we're glad you're here, and we want you to be here every week and to tell your friends about us. Well, do you ever feel like, I don't know, what happened to the America I used to know? I run into people that have that feeling all the time. Now, maybe some of you are probably too young to remember any America other than the one we're in. But I got to tell you, my friends, for those of you that fit into that category, people of my age range, this is a different country. I mean, up is down, down is up, good's bad, bad's good. The controversies over things that everybody agreed on. And of course, everything's pretty tense in America today. It's tense around the world. It's tense here. I think a lot of us feel like the country's becoming more and more of a dangerous place, just like the world is. We got a little bit of taste of that. It began in Israel. On that night, TV and radio communications that the Israeli people were listening to, or they might have been on their computers, or they might have been in a public place, wherever you were in Israel, you got a special emergency alert. Just think about that happening here and you knowing it wasn't one of those tests that periodically we have, but that this was the real thing. And what Israelis heard was that their government had picked up that in Iran, there had been a launch of over 300 ballistic missiles and drones. And the path they were on made it absolutely clear that this was an attack on the nation of Israel. All Israelis were ordered to go to their bomb shelter. Well, you might say, well, what if they didn't have a bomb shelter? No, in Israel, you are required by law to have a bomb shelter. You see, in the United States, we kind of fool ourselves every once in a while. Well, maybe things aren't that dangerous. You know, it's not like it's World War II or something. We could have another Pearl Harbor. I mean, yeah, we're safe in our homes. We don't have to worry about too much. No, my friends, that is not the condition of the world. The world's becoming a more and more dangerous place. And quite frankly, it's never been the condition of the Israeli people. Modern Israel is in the middle of a very bad neighborhood. That's the neighborhood they've been in since 1947 when they were reconstituted as a nation. They've been in multiple wars started by their neighbors. And so Israelis are required to have in their homes a shelter for their families. And so this alert comes over, and nearly 9 million Israelis went into those bomb shelters and huddled with their families. Now, a second to remind you about the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Islamic Republic of Iran has founding documents just like we do. You know, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and so forth. The founding documents of the Islamic Republic of Iran has as the fundamental reason they exist the erasing of the nation of Israel from the map and the killing of all Jews. Oh, and by the way, when they get done with that, they're required to kill all the Christians. But I digress. We can talk about that at some other time. So as Israelis were huddled in their bomb shelters, knowing that a nation that is dedicated to their destruction had just launched 300 missiles and drones at them, the Israeli military, with help from elements of the U.S. military, went into action. And I don't know, my friends, not a military expert, but it almost sounds like it was a miracle. There have been a number of these miracles over the decades to the benefit of Israel. Virtually every one of the 300 ballistic missiles and drones were destroyed before they reached their targets. Now, you know, Israel didn't know where Were these conventional weapons with conventional bombs? Was there biological or gas in any of these missiles? Could any of them have been nuclear missiles? Nobody knew the answer to any of those questions. They just knew they had to stop them from hitting Israel. And they basically did. If the missiles had gotten through, no matter what kind of warheads they had, thousands of Israelis would have perished. But thank God, that didn't happen. Now, you know, over the years, well, before I get into that, let me just remind you that why this was a significant attack. You know, Iran has been attacking Israel for a long time, but they've used what is called euphemistically proxies. Groups like Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad and Hamas are all funded and trained by Iran. And these proxies are in different countries that border on Israel. Iran and Israel don't share a border. So the only way that Iran could attack Israel is use these proxies. And then, of course, Iran claims, well, no, we didn't have anything to do with that. This was an attack directly from the soil of Iran to Israel. This was an act of war under international law against all historical standards. Now, I'm glad the United States military cooperated with the Israeli military and stopped this attack from succeeding. But as I'm recording this for you and as you're listening to it, things are changing moment by moment. But as I said, as I'm recording this, the Biden White House is trying to convince Israel they shouldn't respond to this attack because that might cause trouble. I can't say over the radio on the JDFI station here what I would like to say about that. That's just stupid. I'll say that. You're attacked by another nation, and the United States tries to convince you, well, for the sake of peace, you shouldn't do anything back. No, that's how wars, big wars, start. It's when thugs think they can do things like this, and there's no price to be paid. So we'll see whether Israel listens to that advice from the White House. Now, at any previous time in American history, when Israel got in trouble like this, when there was an attack launched on Israel, the American people almost unanimously rallied to defend Israel. But this is not the America that it used to be. And in our country today, there are radical Islamists and far leftists that were happy and excited at the news that Iranian missiles were on the way to Israel. Now, ponder that for a moment. Imagine that somebody in your city would have been happy about this news. When I heard that this attack was underway, my immediate thought was this could be a disaster. In fact, if Israel, what happens next, we could all be in a major war. But there were people living in maybe your neighborhood or your city, or definitely in your state, that got this news and said, yes, Israel's going to get theirs. A group with this kind of a mindset happened to be meeting in Chicago when all this happened. And as I said, they were one of these groups excited that a bunch of Israeli Jews may be on their way to being murdered. So the leader of the group at this little meeting that they were having, he read out to them the bulletin, and oh, he was so excited when he read it. And then he decided that this was a good time to teach the crowd some really great slogans they could chant in the days ahead. I got a recording of that little teaching session. Listen to this.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg bar.
Marg bar.
Marg bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean?
Oh, So it has two meanings, depending on the gender. It can mean death to or down with. So
can we get a Mark Bar Amrita?
We can get a Mark Bar Amrita. Yes, we can. Mark Bar Amrita.
Mark Bar Amrita.
Mark Bar Amrita.
Mark Bar Amrita.
Thank you.
I know that audio wasn't completely clear. Maybe you couldn't make out all of it. In the beginning, he was teaching the very excited and interested attendees of the meeting how they could chant in Persian, or rather Farsi, which is the language of Iran, how they could chant words that meant one of two things, either down with Israel or death to Israel. In other words, a call for genocide. And so he ran through with them what the right words were. And then when he thought he was finished, somebody in the crowd said, well, how can we say that about America too? Yep. In Chicago, a great American city, there were some people, presumably Americans, at least by birth, I would assume, maybe not. They wanted to chant not only death to Israel or down with Israel, they wanted to know how to chant death to America, down with America. And he accommodated them. And at the end of that little audio I played for you, he taught them how to say that too. It would be bad enough. This kind of reaction happened in Chicago. In fact, in the days after the failed Iranian attack, there were demonstrations in almost every major U.S. city, not against the mullahs of Iran, but against Israel and the United States that had just successfully defended Israel against this attack. Now, maybe you think I'm exaggerating. This is how they described what happened the next day and the day after on Fox News.
All right, we begin the first hour of Fox and Friends with this. This is unbelievable. Anti-Israeli protesters find the Hezbollah flag in front of the New York Stock Exchange. Yes, the terroristic flag located in Lebanon. They're chanting also death to America in a few languages while marching through the streets of various cities in America.
Protesters jamming up traffic for hours on the Brooklyn Bridge, some even burning the American flag. Look at that.
Meanwhile, on the other coast in San Francisco, 38 activists were arrested after shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge for almost 5 hours. Another group blocked several sections of the freeway around the Bay Area, brought the city to a grind.
And in Chicago, travelers heading to O'Hare International Airport were forced to drag their luggage down the highway after protesters completely blocked access to main terminal. 54 people were arrested there.
These crowds are angry that the American military and the Israeli military stopped Iran from killing thousands of Israelis. Now, maybe you might think, well, this is just it's a foreign policy dispute. You know, there were disagreements about when we were at war in Vietnam, and there were disagreements about, you know, the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. But it really isn't just a foreign policy dispute. Because for months now, demonstrations and demonstrators in America have made it clear that they hate not only Israel and even America, they also are infected with the rawest kinds of anti-Semitism and hatred of Jews, and in many cases, hatred of Christians. So there was a follow-up conversation later in the week on Fox News about that phenomena, that this is a raw hatred of Jews. Listen to this.
I got a message from a friend yesterday. He's a broker in Lower Manhattan, a Democrat, one of the people that said he would never vote for Donald Trump. And he texted me yesterday, and he said it was a college-aged girl, and she said to him, all Jews should die. Guys, this is not the first protests where we've seen this. There were pro-Hamas flags right after the October 7th attack, and we know this because I went down there and covered it. They have been very clear on what they believe. Now, there is a segment of the people, the organizers are all pro-Hamas, but there are some kids there that are anti-American. They have been indoctrinated by the college professors. And I'm wondering, where are the parents that are paying for these Do you know what your kids are doing out here? They don't like the country anymore. They hate Jews. There has to be a standard in America. And Brian, from my perspective, we're just itching for an attack. We have homegrown people that hate our country, and we're allowing them to be embedded within the program.
I want to hear these guys debriefed. I want to find out who's paying them. Obviously, they have no jobs. They're not in school. And they can feel as though they can block these roadways at 12. They're organizing. They have this chant. We saw in Chicago they were going over how to say these chants in Farsi. So how you could ever take Iran's side in America when they've been the enemy of this country since 1979, the people of Iran hate their government, yet we like the Iranian government?
Well, my friends, it is undeniable that we have barbarians now inside the United States. There is an organized movement that is anti-Semitic to its core, that hates Israel and hates the United States. It is the same alliance we've seen throughout Europe of radical Islamists and neo-Marxist leftists, many of whom have been educated, in quotes, in some of the finest universities in Europe and the United States, who despise Israel and they despise Judeo-Christian civilization. I mean, that's just a reality. The threats to Western civilization, both internal and external, are growing every day. And as I've told you before, our insane open borders immigration policies are literally importing hate into our country. When we have somebody that legally arrives on our shores to become an American, presumably, we make no attempt to find out if that individual is bringing the hatreds of their home country into the United States. Do any of you think the problem in the United States is we just don't have enough hate? There are enough haters in the United States to go around. We have too much hate in the United States. Why in the world are we being so cavalier about accepting immigration from countries that we know are riddled with anti-Semitic hatred and often with anti-Christian hatred, hatred against Christians? So we've got a problem, and we're living in tumultuous times. And so I want to wrap up by saying what is a constant theme on this podcast. I think you probably agree with me that these times are crazy, they're increasingly evil, and that all good men and women must act. And that is particularly true for those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ. We are in dangerous waters. There is no guarantee that we're going to make it through this without some sort of disaster or disasters happening. But I believe the evidence is overwhelming that the waters we're in, we will not reach safety without the blessings of God and action by Christian men and women. So at JDFI, in the wake of all of these latest developments, we urge you to pray for the nation of Israel and for the peace of Jerusalem. We urge you to pray for all civilians of whatever nationality who find themselves caught in the crossfire of war. We urge you to pray for our country during these times of great danger. And we urge you, with every ounce of urging we can do, to become involved, active Christian citizens and help restore our country as one nation under God. Thank you, my friends, for being with us this week on the James Dobson Family Institute Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast. talk to you next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.